the biggest value proposition that I bring to the table is my energy on auction day. And I think it's a significant energy that I bring. It's the ability to be able to read a buyer, read a crowd, know when someone is about to bid, know when I can actually convince someone to bid $50,000 instead of $5,000, and being able to press that button when you need to, but also being able to pull back and give somebody time when you need to. That's intuition. It comes with experience.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent Magazine for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you behind-the-scenes coaching, news analysis, exclusive interviews, technology, and more to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of Elevate, the Elite Agent podcast. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent, and once again, host of this week's show. My guest this week is one of the most recognised auctioneers in Australia, Damien Cooley. Having watched a few finals of The Block over the years, I've always been a fan of Damien's auctioneering style, which is commanding but not intimidating, professional but not cheesy, and is both curious and energetic. In fact, it's this last bit, along with his many, many years of experience, that allows him to magically tune into a crowd and pivot towards the path where the hammer will fall in the best place for all parties. While his auction services are in high, high demand, he still believes giving back is where it's at, and is about to auction yet another plantation home in Brisbane in September this year for the benefit of the Marta Little Miracles program, and we wish them well in fundraising for that project. Meanwhile, in this podcast, we take a dive into Damien's world, the theatre of auction, his negotiation strategies, what's working right now in the current market, what it's like working on TV, plus much, much more. I hope you enjoy this episode with Damien Cooley. So welcome to the podcast, Damien Cooley.
Thank you for having me.
It's awesome to have you in here, an auctioneer of your experience. You've had 20 years in real estate. You've sold off more than 30,000 properties via auction. You've been on The Block, I don't know how many years, and won it several times. I have a million questions to ask you. But first of all, for people that don't know you, how did you get into real estate, or how did you get into auctioneering?
When you just said that I'd been in real estate for 20 years, I had to just take a quick think and say, wow, when did I actually start in real estate? So I left school in 1998. April 1999 was when I jumped into real estate and loved it right from day one. We actually had a huge hailstorm rip through Sydney in April 99. And when I moved into real estate, I was in property management, leasing, and we had loads of tenants moving out into crisis accommodation. So it was definitely a steep learning curve first few weeks, but it was great. I was a leasing consultant, moved into auctions a few years down the track, but starting in property management actually gave me a great grounding in the fundamentals of what real estate's all about.
So you're a property manager where a lot of people start. How did you actually make the leap into auctioneering? What sort of training did you go through?
My employer at the time, a guy called Robert Anderson, I worked for a company called Elders Real Estate in Randwick. Robert came down and asked me if I wanted to go in the Real Estate Institute of New South Wales Novice Auctioneers competition. And I said, I'd love to. I went in that competition. I won the local division for the REI. I then went into the state final when I won that. And then I got a job at McGrath's, and I went and worked there as an auctioneer and as a property manager for a period of time before I eventually decided to start my own business.
So we're going to get into a bit later some of the nitty-gritty of agents who might be listening who want to get into auctions, but there's a couple of interesting auctions you're involved in right now. Well, you do a lot of charity work, Youth Off the Streets. You've done that for years in the Real Estate Sleepout.
Yeah.
What have you learnt from programs like that?
Youth Off the Streets is one that's close to my heart. I read Father Chris Riley's book, and as a result of reading that book, when Peppy and I and my wife got married, we decided that we wanted to go and work on the food van. That was, I guess, the first initial step of helping at Youth Off the Streets. And the food van involved jumping in the van, going out to Marrickville, cooking a meal, putting it in the van, driving to King's Cross, feeding the homeless, driving back to Marrickville, washing up, cleaning up. You wouldn't get home till about 1 o'clock in the morning. So it was quite taxing on time, and we were always very tired the next day from lack of sleep. But it was a great experience and something that both Peppy and I really enjoyed. when Peppy fell pregnant with our first baby, Eva, we just decided that it was not the right thing to continue doing. But we wanted to continue our involvement in Youth Off the Street. So I sat on their development committee for quite some time. And off the back of that, we started a couple of events. One was the Cooley Golf Classic. And the second event, which is the event that we're currently running, which is the Real Estate Sleepout, we're trying to make a national real estate event to raise money for Youth Off the Streets. I'm really proud to say now that we've raised over $1 million for Youth Off the Streets from events that we've organised. So they're a great organisation, great charity, and Father Chris Riley is a really incredible man.
Now, you cropped up in the news again because you're doing the auctioneering for the House for Life charity program. So tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. This is incredible, really. I mean, to think that the developers, the builders, the trades, right from the ground up, have donated every single component of this land and house being built is truly unbelievable. And all the funds are going straight to the Mater up in Brisbane. And you know, what an amazing charity to raise money for. But it's pretty incredible to think how much hard work's gone into not only sourcing the land, donating it, and then doing a complete new build from the ground up. My lucky part is just turning up on the day and doing the auction. I think the people that really deserve the credit are companies like Plantation Homes, who are actually building the house and donating all their time and services.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I think they're very lucky to have an auctioneer like you on their team.
So. Yeah, look, I guess I'm the final piece in the puzzle. I'm the person that gets to come on auction day and look good. For me, the hard work would have already been done before I get there. And that's not just even in the build. The agents that have been selected to market the home, they've got a task ahead of them to ensure that buyers turn up there on the day. Make no understatement that the auctioneer is only as good as the agent's hard work before the day. But if I can add my little taste and touch to the end of the auction and put that great result on auction day, then that'd be wonderful.
Absolutely. So you just touched on something that I want to dig into with you, and that is that the relationship between auctioneer and agent's got to be very symbiotic. And auctioneers, you have a very unique position in the market. So what's your feeling about what's going on out there now?
Auctions are simply a marketing strategy that we use to get the best result for the seller in the shortest period of time. I think what's often underestimated is that they're the most transparent way to sell real estate. And what I mean by that is, from a buyer's point of view, they can see who they're competing against. They can turn up on auction day and they can bid. If they don't want to bid, they don't have to bid. The competitive nature of an auction generally means that if you have 3, 4, 5 bidders competing for a property, then it should sell for a premium price. And sometimes that's a price that's above what the owner wants to accept for the home. Sometimes it's a price that's below what the owner ideally would like to sell the home for. And that gives us what we call as our auction clearance rate. Sometimes properties sell, sometimes properties don't. And the way that we work out what an auction clearance rate is that it's the total volume of auctions. We look at what sells before auction day and what sells on the day of the auction divided by the total volume of properties that were booked in for that day. So what's happening right now is that there's been a significant shift since the election has been over. We've had a lot of disruption in 2019 with banking royal commissions. We've had a state election in Sydney. We've had a federal election across the country. We've had the usual Easter and Anzac Day periods. And the banking royal commission played a big role in that. So what we saw is the end of a boom, which was one of the most significant real estate booms, certainly that I've ever seen in my 20 years of real estate. And I'm sure that people who have been in the industry for 30 and 40 years would probably agree that it was one of the biggest booms. All of this happened at the end of that boom. The market was coming off before the Royal Commission. The market was coming off before the state election and the federal election, but it just snowballed. Now that all of that's out of the way, we've got the Liberal government returned in government. We've got a couple of interest rate cuts. That has certainly put a little bit of a spark back in the market here in Sydney.
It is like everyone breathed a big sigh of relief and they're heading out on a Saturday again. At least that's what I'm hearing from some of our readers and things like that, which is obviously good news.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everybody right now would like to have a lot more volume. I know that there are a lot of auctioneers that are pretty hungry at the moment.
Yeah.
Volume's down, but a lot of agents are also scratching around doing their best to try and win as many listings as they can. The reality is there's not as much volume as there was previously, but we had it good for a really long time. We're most likely returning more to a more normal marketplace where not as much property will transact, but will listings pick up? Yes, of course they will. right now in the middle of winter. As we look coming into the spring market, it'll be really interesting to see how much property comes on the market, maybe in August, then in September, October and November will be very busy.
So there's still some vendors hibernating through the cooler winter months.
I think there's a lot of vendors that are thinking about listing their property August, September.
Yep.
I think the advice that a lot of agents would be and should be giving those vendors is that it's in their best interest to come onto the market earlier rather than later. Traditionally, we know that whilst November is a nice time of the year, it's not as good a time for selling, in my opinion, than August or September is, purely because of volume of property on the market, supply and demand.
Interesting. So let's talk about the role of the auctioneer. I mean, I remember seeing on the block, I'm not a big watcher of the block, but I remember in one of the very early episodes, I watched a number of the auctions and then you came on and I was very proud to be a Sydneysider as well. Very proud. What aspects of the auctioneer's role do you feel really add value to the transaction?
It's an interesting comment because there's value that you can add before auction day and then there's value that you add on the day of the auction. For me, calling the volume of auctions that I call, it's very difficult for me to have too much involvement prior to the auction itself, outside of being available to the agent. If they need to have a phone call or if a vendor wants to call me, I'm happy to speak with them. But some of our auctioneers attend vendor meetings, attend reserve setting meetings, inspect the property before auction, have that meeting with an agent face-to-face before auction day. And that's a lot of the value that they're adding to their clients. And I must say, for some auctioneers who are not calling 1,000 or 1,500 or 2,000 auctions every year, they've got the time to do that. I personally don't have the time to do that. But what I do make myself available for is that if an agent or a vendor ever wants to have that chat, I make myself available for them. That's one element of value that you can add. Me personally, I believe the biggest value proposition that I bring to the table is my energy on auction day. And I think it's a significant energy that I bring. It's the ability to be able to read a buyer, read a crowd, know when someone is about to bid, know when I can actually convince someone to bid $50,000 instead of $5,000, and being able to press that button when you need to, but also being able to pull back and give somebody time when you need to. That's intuition. It comes with experience. I didn't know that when I first started, and I've only got better at that with the more auctions that I've called.
It must be a real gift to be able to tune into people like that, especially when there's so much energy in the crowd. You've got your people who are kind of nervous hanging back.
Yes.
You've got your people in the
Absolutely.
Front that are ready to bid.
I use things that we call them trial closers. I use things like calling the property first, second, third. I use a hammer. It's one of my tools of trade. I'm amazed at how many auctioneers actually don't use a hammer. I think it's one of the most important things that I have on auction day because I use these tools as a way to entice someone to bid. So I'm not waiting for a buyer to bid. To give you a perfect example, when I'm calling an auction and I can see someone's thinking, I'll trial close them faster. So I'll speed up the auction. I might increase the volume of my voice, change the tone of my voice, and I'll go first, second, third quickly. They know that once I say third, there's a chance that that hammer will fall, even if I'm not at the reserve price.
Yeah.
And if I'm not at the reserve price, I might even make a play to walk over and grab my hammer from my assistant. So it kind of signals that he's going to sell it.
Yeah.
But I might be $100,000 away from the reserve. I can't sell it. But that's a tool that I use to try and extract a bid out of somebody.
So there's a great element of theatre in auctions, and I know some people go to auctions just to see that element of theatre that you just talked about.
Auctions are a show. It's not just about getting a great result for the seller. Obviously, that's our primary focus, but if it's not going to sell, you also need to put a good show on for the agent. I always completely respect the fact that part of the auctioneer's role is that we're representing the agent, their brand, their business. And when we turn up to do that, we're employed to represent them in the right way. So if we have no registrations or we know the property's not going to sell, it's really important that we either sell it or make it more saleable post-auction. And not every property sells at auction, but if we can make it more saleable post the auction date, then our role is satisfied.
I was just thinking too with the theatre aspect of it, that's what attracts a lot of agents to becoming an auctioneer. And I remember one auctioneer said to me, you've got to be accurate before you can be funny.
Yes. I'm certainly not the funniest auctioneer. I play a straight bat. I play straight down the line. I'm not one for cheesy jokes or little quirky one-liners. I'm there to do a job, and I would say I'm probably more of the professional side rather than the comedian side of being an auctioneer. But I feel like that resonates well in the markets that I sell in.
So can we dig into some actual on-the-ground strategy a little bit more? So yeah. At the moment, you know, with buyers being a bit more thin on the ground in various states, how would your strategy differ based on whether there were no bidders registered, whether there was one bidder, or whether there was multiple bidders? How would you change your thinking around the auction day?
The easiest answer, if you've got loads of bidders, is allow them to bid. I think one thing that you can fall in the trap of is hindering bids. If you've got lots of buyers, let them bid. I'm not too fussed about what they bid. I'll try and guide them in the increments that I feel is appropriate. But if they won't do that and I've got multiple registrations, I really let the buyers take a bit of control. And then as we get towards the end of the auction, that's where I start probably adding a bit more value and guiding the buyers where I think they should be landing. For example, someone might bid 1,000. I might take 4,000 from someone else to round it up to 775. I might then get 776, and the next bid might be 780. Next bid might be 781. And I might say, look, instead of going to 785, we should just go to 800,000 here. Because as we get closer, if you just land a strong bid at 800,000 now, I'm trying to convince that buyer that they should bid confidently when I know that the other buyer might be starting to really weaken. And I'll always try and get a big bid at the end when I know that the underbidder may actually be out on that last bid. That's part of my role. If you have one registered bidder or one interested party, your strategy differs because you need to understand like what the owner will sell the property for, what you actually think that is achievable, and what you think the buyer is going to pay. In New South Wales, we're allowed to have one vendor's bid. In Victoria, you can have multiple. In Queensland, you need to disclose how many you're going to have. The most important thing in all states, firstly, understand the legislation, how many vendor bids you're allowed and how to use them. We're allowed one. I'd have a vendor bid based on where I think the buyer is at on price. I would like to engage the buyer if possible. If I thought the buyer was at 800,000, we might vendor bid 790. We could even vendor bid 800,000 to try and get a bid above that. Ideally, you want that buyer to bid. We'd then use the reserve price strategically. We'd probably increase the reserve price before the auction. We'd have that in writing. So we were able to produce that reserve to the buyer and say, look, the reserve's at 830. We're not selling it at 800,000. You know, would you pay 830,000? So we use that reserve price as a negotiation tool. If I had no registered bidders, it really is all about setting it up for a post-auction sale. Depends on what that property is going to go for sale at after the auction. We might choose to not have a vendor's bid at all and pass it in without a bid. We usually use that strategy if our vendor is overpriced compared to what the market is prepared to pay. If we feel that the vendor is very reasonable and we know the price the property is going to go for sale at in the hours after the auction, then we may choose to have a vendor's bid at a number that sounds really good to the market. It's an enticing number that somebody would go, that's not what I expected. Let's go and have a look at that property. Or that sounds cheap. Let's go and have a look at that property.
So I'm sure there'll be some people interested about the block, which is another little bubble of property that exists in TV land kind of thing.
Yep.
How do you prepare for an auction on the block versus a real life auction?
Auctions on the block, whilst they are real life auction because people are actually transacting real estate, we always have managed to have good registered bidders there. There are always buyers that want to buy these properties. I don't do a lot of preparation for the block in terms of psyching myself out. I do get quite nervous before I go onto the block, and I never get nervous before auctions. There's always a little nervous energy because I'm excited about what's about to happen, but I do get nervous on the block. I think that's because there's about 15 TV cameras in front of you. And
every angle.
Yeah, you've got a few million people watching you, so you want to do a good job. The difference on the block is that we don't have a lot of ability to control the buyers, and this is probably one of my biggest frustrations about those auctions is that they're so heavily influenced by the buyer's agents and them bidding, and they've got their strategies, which we completely respect. They have a clear strategy that they want to put in place, and it's very hard to get around that. So we're not dealing with mum and dad investors or people who just want to go and bid for the property, because a lot of those people don't want to be on TV.
Yeah, well, I was going to say a lot of those buyer's agents and things like that are people that you would know quite well.
Absolutely, and have great relationships with. They completely understand that I'm there to do a job, and I completely understand they're there to do a job. So it's definitely a common level of respect. It can just get frustrating sometimes. Real life auction, different. We turn up. Most of the time we're dealing with investors or owner-occupiers who, by the way, can be equally challenging to extract bids out of. But I find my ability to be able to connect with those buyers a lot easier. I tap into a lot more of the emotions with those buyers, and I'm able to influence them more so than others. And there's a good advertisement for why you should get a professional person to bid for you at an auction.
Well, yeah, absolutely, because it must be almost like playing a game of poker, right? You know, there would be tells that you'd be looking for, that there's more to come, or that someone's actually sitting on their hands and not
wanting
to.
Telltale signs.
Yeah.
Look, after you've done thousands of auctions, and any auctioneer would be able to say that the more auctions you do, the more of these scenarios that play out, and there are telltale signs. I love having registered bidders at auctions because we know who is a potential buyer for the property. I think one of the hardest things that I certainly came up against before registrations very early on in my career was that you didn't know really who was a buyer. The agent knew within reason because people had been through open for inspections and they had a reasonably good idea. But the fact that bidders have to register in New South Wales and in Queensland and some other states, it gives us a great advantage because we know who our registered bidders are. You can also advise the owner more appropriately. Hey, we have one registered bidder. Instead of saying, look, we've got one person here, but it could be two or three. We're not sure. Where are we going to have the vendors bid? Well, we know exactly what our instructions should be and are.
Yeah, and hope is not a strategy on a Saturday, right?
Absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely not.
You want to have those people registered before.
Mind you, sometimes when we have one registered bidder, we still do hope.
Well, there's no harm in that, I guess.
Yeah.
So as far as agents are concerned, because most of our listeners are agents, what advice would you give to agents who are thinking about becoming an auctioneer?
Auctions are a great industry. Loads of fun. It's not as easy as it looks. It's not just about standing out in front of a crowd and calling an auction and being able to add the numbers up. It is about being able to present a property in such a way that, one, makes the agency look good, makes the team look good. You need to be able to engage with the crowd really well and quickly. You literally have 15, 30 seconds to engage with the audience. And then once you engage with the audience, you then need to have the ability to be able to influence them, convince them to bid, guide them, as I said, with their increments and what they should or shouldn't be bidding. I find that the real value the auctioneer adds really is probably in the last few bids. And it's that value in those last few bids that I think we earn our fee.
That's the 80-20 rule, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, I had an auction last night. I'm just trying to think of the numbers. It was a $1,025,000. The gentleman went $1,025,500. Now, all of the money was actually being donated to charity for the sale of this property. And the lady said $100. Now, in 20 years of real estate, I have never taken a $100 bid. And I was like, do I take this $100? I didn't want to. And then I was like, I think this could be the last bid. So I said to the agent, would you like me to take the $100? And we both agreed that we should. So we took it. $1,025,600. That was the bid. But as a result of taking that $100, I was able to convince the other buyer to go to $1,027,000. So making it a $1,400 bid. So we went to $1,027,000 and we sold it. Now, by taking that $100, that was an extra $1,500. One, that pays my fee, contributes to marketing. And I feel that even though it's $1,500, that's the value that the auctioneer can add right at the end.
Real estate is constantly changing and it feels like we're in a period of massive change. Has anything changed in identifying which properties are suitable to go to auction?
Not really. I think that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions about auction. Is my property an auction property? I believe that every property is an auction property. And I think when you understand the whole concept of what an auction is all about, it's about removing price as a barrier, allowing buyers to come along and compete for a property and tell us what they're prepared to pay. And the owner gets to say yes or no, whether they want to take the price or not.
Yep.
So all we're doing is that we're marketing a property in a fixed time frame setting a date to strategically work towards that date to get a result on that date. Now, if the property doesn't sell, as I said, it's about making it more saleable post-auction. A lot of people say, oh, the auction clearance rate's 40% or clearance rate's 50%. Why would you go to auction? What's your private treaty clearance rate for 28 days on the market? When you actually question some agents and say, okay, well, if you're convinced that auction isn't the way to go, why? That's because you're selling them by private treaty. Okay, well, clearance rate might be 50%, but what's your private treaty clearance rate for the same days on market? We know that auctioning property reduces days on market. If we reduce days on market, we can carry more stock, we can sell more property. And ultimately, the competitive nature of multiple bidders registering for a home gives an owner an opportunity to sell for a premium price.
Why do you think there aren't more female auctioneers? They're very hard to find.
We've got three in our team, three exceptional female auctioneers. Traditionally, it's been a male-dominated industry, but I really believe that's changing. In fact, one of our female auctioneers, Brianna Davis, she's exceptional. So are our other two females, Sarah and Jacinta. But Bree's probably one of our most booked auctioneers. Our clients absolutely adore her. She's lovely and she's tough. She gets the job done and she sells properties for really good prices. So she's very, very well booked. And I think that a female auctioneer just has a different ability to be able to engage with some buyers better than others. And same for men. Men are able to engage with some buyers better than others. There's absolutely more room for more female auctioneers.
There you go, girls. So careers at coolieauctions.com.au.
We just need a few more auctions.
Yeah, absolutely. So what about the future of auctions? There's a lot of online auctions, auctioneering platforms and different hybrid platforms coming up. What do you think the future of auctions is?
Good question. We've been investing a significant amount of money into a platform that we've developed called Auction Now. I don't believe that the auctioneer's role will cease. I believe that the auctioneer has an unbelievable ability to influence buyers, and that's personal interaction. And that's the same as a real estate agent being able to get a better price for a seller by negotiating with a buyer than a computer would be able to, or any of the above. Is there room for online auctions in our industry? Absolutely. Will that happen? Yes, it definitely will. We've already built the technology to handle that in Auction Now, and we're really excited about that. Does that mean that the role of the auctioneer will cease? No. I really believe that the role of the auctioneer will be here for a very long time. I think that we as auctioneers will work in conjunction with online bidders, and we're already doing that right now. I think that, yes, there will be a time where more properties start going to online auctions, like an eBay style auction, and we're already doing that now. Not a huge volume, but I'm sure that that will pick up over the years. But the future of our industry, I think, is actually very good. I think the future of our industry relies on the service that we provide our clients, the value that we provide them for the fee that we charge, and our ability to get a better result than the next person.
Well, yeah, I couldn't imagine Saturday without the footy and auctions, and maybe
my wife and kids can definitely imagine no auctions on a Saturday.
I'm sure that's in their dreams. Yeah,
absolutely.
Somewhere. So if there's one thing that you'd like our listeners to remember out of all of this, because we've talked about a whole bunch of stuff, what would it be?
I think one of the most important things that agents should take away from our industry is actually about giving back. Don't be afraid to give back. Please give back. And that's just not about making a donation to a local school to try and get a listing out of it. It's about making a donation to someone because you actually want to make a donation to someone. Or even better yet, donate your time. Add value by giving your time. One of the reasons I'm going up to Queensland for the House for Life charity is to give back. I have no intention of conducting auctions in Queensland. There is nothing in it for me outside of me going and doing a really good thing for a great cause. That money that's raised for the MARTA is go towards some kids in need, parents in need, and that's just a good thing. And I'm really happy and proud to be doing that.
And so the dates for Real Estate Sleepout as well, if anyone wants to contact you and get involved in that?
Yeah, the Real Estate Sleepout is on Monday the 19th of August.
Nice and cold.
Yeah, nice and cold. Well, we've actually moved it this year. It was in July last year. So we're hoping to get out of that school holiday period and get a few more people sleeping down on Bondi Beach. We're super excited about that. I really believe the Real Estate Sleepout is a charity event that the real estate industry could raise $1 million in one night, all in the name of Father Chris Riley and Youth Off the Streets. I don't believe that that is going to be our goal this year, but I do believe that it's possible, and we're certainly going to have a really good crack at doing that.
Absolutely. Well, it's a fantastic goal to have. Damien Cooley, thank you so much.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
To subscribe to the magazine, visit eliteagent.com.au/subscribe.